Kieran Berry's new play, Tomorrow in the Battle, finds Simon, a heart surgeon, in a heated affair with Jennifer, who is a successful young investor that he met at an opera. Though oblivious to her husband's betrayal, Simon's wife, Anna, has contrived a romantic seduction of her own, with their secrets deepening in risk and intensity, the past and present intertwine, thrusting them towards a desperate moment that changes their lives forever. Stageworks Hudson is currently presenting the world premiere of Tomorrow in the Battle through September 2nd at Stageworks Max and Lillian Katzman Theater in Hudson, New York. We are joined this morning by playwright Kieran Berry, actor Danielle Skrostad, and director and Stageworks Hudson artistic director Laura Margolis. Thank you very much for being here, Kieran, Danielle, and Laura. What a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. So, Laura, let us begin with you of how this came to be.
Well, we found Kieran Berry through a submission he had written to us described to us a play that he wrote, and it sounded extremely intriguing, and we said, please send us the full script. We'd like to read it. It's one of the many ways that producing theater companies that present new work find plays, and I have to say we were the lucky ones. This is a beautiful, beautiful, and quite brilliant play.
How do you know? I mean, how long into the read do you know, okay, this is something special?
You know sometimes very, very quickly. And it's not your intelligence working, but rather if you keep reading, you pretty well know. You it just happens. You know,
yeah.
that this is a piece that you're intrigued by, that it's kept your attention, and you're starting to visualize, and you just become consumed by it.
You want to do interesting, intriguing, entertaining work. Kieran, for you, what are you hoping to get out of this equation?
Well, I mean, I think just to have such a good team of artists working on your play is such a privilege and a thrill, really. And luckily, having come here and seen it being performed, that's all you really hope to get out of it, to be honest. That's what you're in the game for, just to hope that you meet a director that great and actors that strong. So I feel, to be honest, completely satisfied with things just as they are. So, unlike a novel, let's say, when you write a novel, well, it's there and that's what it is. Well, a play isn't, a script isn't a play, it's just a series of instructions, really, for other people to do, and if those instructions aren't acted on, in a way, you haven't really created anything. So it's just great to actually have your stuff done, really.
And what is it like to have the instructions changed, perhaps, by the crew, to have it explored and say, all right, why don't we do it this way?
Yeah, I mean, I think the majesty of theatre is also the tyranny of theatre, in a way, in that you're working with other people, and to some extent it's only logical to hope that those people have got opinions and that they are creative, and you're never going to agree on anything. But I think that in my experience there's always the greatest reward in giving people the greatest amount of freedom, because then it won't necessarily look like what you thought it might, but more often than not it will be far better than you thought it could be.
I gave a brief description of the show. How do you describe what it's about?
Yeah, no, I think your description is right. I mean, I think it, in essence, it's quite a simple story. It's an adultery drama, I suppose, which I've always found quite a compelling theme. I suppose adultery is the only area of life that is completely domestic, but unquestionably epic as well, I think. And obviously it has proved really fruitful over the years for almost every writer, really. So I think about that first and foremost. But as you said, I mean, every character has got a career. And in that sense, they have these professional crises and moral quandaries that in some way echo against their personal dilemmas as well. So
it's the moral quandary that's so fun, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah, and I certainly hope the play doesn't moralize. I'm more interested in, firstly, the thrill of seeing things being smashed up. I think that's partly what we have theatre for, really, just to sort of see what happens when other people make mistakes. That's just really pleasing. And also, I think, just to convey the sensations of what it is like to make these very destructive choices. So, yeah, there's a moral component, I suppose, but it's more when you're in your own mind, things don't necessarily feel like moral decisions. They just feel like sort of tastes that you're trying to pursue, I suppose.
Danielle, for you as an actor in this work, what is that experience like to be part of the equation from ground up?
Well, I guess when Laura sent me the script, just thinking about this 10 pages kind of idea. I mean, already I've known Laura for a long time, and she has such good taste, and she really makes an effort to support new works in the area that I'm from, which I really appreciate. And so that she thought the play was interesting is always a good sign. And then when she sent it to me, I started reading it out loud to my boyfriend, actually, who's also an actor. And we were just kind of having fun already on the first page. And then I read through the whole piece, which was extremely exciting. And to just steal a quote from one of the other actors in the show, the thing that's really interesting about the piece is that you think it's one thing until you realize it's another. So the way that Tim Dinahan says is that, you know, what would it be like for an audience member to watch a mystery that they didn't know was a mystery until after the play was over? And Laura posed this question when we went around the table, which is, how do we recreate for the audience what the experience of reading this play was? And she kind of started from there. And so in that way, the lyricism of the work and the just humanness of, you know, Karen's ability to understand what it is that makes people funny and weak and exciting, and to do that in a way that just seems real. It seems like you can hear the places, you can see the people, they're talking to you, which is exciting to do as an actor, but also this added thing that Laura was working with, which is how do you take the piece that you read and give that experience to it when it's not being read, when it's being physicalized. Mm-hmm. And we went through a lot of different choices, and what we ended up on, it feels really sleek and sexy and exciting to be inside of it. And I think with the audience response that probably we have achieved that.
I love the term physicalized. I'm not sure I've ever heard that before in that regard. I like that. Laura, I'm always fascinated by hearing the stories of the table read, of going around that table and the exploration process, especially with a new work, but even a classic, of what that is like, and what kind of work is done and what kind of depths you go to find out what's going on in the printed word.
Well, you know, in the theater we have, you know, what's called the first read through. And really that's your opportunity to build your family. This is where it doesn't particularly matter in that first read through how the play is acted by the actors you're not even thinking about, you know, the future in terms of what's going to happen in the rehearsal process, but rather you start to build a family and a sense of trust. And that sense of trust is, I think, the most important part of the rehearsal process, because once you have that, you can really go anywhere. Because what we're all saying is, I'm saying, you know, interesting or wonderful, beautiful choice. Now let's try this. And the actors are saying, well, I've tried this, but geez, I'd like to try that. You know, and sometimes the things, and especially in this play, that you're doing are quite, the play is requiring, you know, quite personal choices. And so to me, I think developing that sense of trust in the rehearsal process so that, that people really feel that they can go anywhere and try anything is really invigorating and illuminating and part of the most wonderful part, I think, of the process. Because once you have that, you can go anywhere.
I'll talk to Karen about this in a moment, but from your perspective of working with the player, I mean, you're the director,
mm-hmm.
but what are you looking for from the writer as far as guidance?
Well, firstly, you know, this is a new play that we're giving its world premiere, and so prior to casting or prior to, and obviously then prior to the rehearsal process, Kieran and I have spoken many, many times. maybe too much from Kieran's point of view, because I can really talk on that phone. Kieran lives in California, and so we've already spoken. As a matter of fact, we've made a silent agreement. You know, from the first conversation, I'm sure even if it's subliminal, he's feeling me out and I'm feeling him out to see if our approach to this play is in some way, you know, symbiotic. And so then once that silent agreement is made, then we start to really talk turkey. It's, you know, here's how I'd like to approach the play. What do you think? And that's where creation comes in, you know. So really the mom and dad's part of the family was created between Kieran and myself, and then we bring in, you know, the rest of the family. And so then what we were fortunate that Kieran was so open to speaking to us. We would all, you know, hover around the phone and had a few meetings with him via long distance. And he was just so open and wonderful and funny, you know, and mm-hmm. Illuminating. And even still now, you know, there's moments that we're speaking about that, you know, that can be adjusted and refined. So you're always fortunate when, you know, you're working with a playwright that is, you know, willing to really also take risks, because he's turning over his piece of art, and he's putting it in your hands. And Kieran was supportive all the way through, which is, you know, it's your dream situation.
At what point did you arrive in the process?
Well, good question. Yeah. Well, as Laura said, I mean, there is this sort of very early process whereby you're not really aware of how you're using your intuition, but you're just feeling out a sense of how it might go. And so in terms of what my contribution is there, to some extent it's quite small, because you think, well, for example, if I'm having to explain a moment in the play, or even the play itself, then that probably means that moment's not very clear, or maybe the play needs to be clearer. And I think, you know, it's important to say that I think the draft number that they're actually doing is, I think, draft number 24, something like that. So that in itself, that number forces you to be humble, because you think, well, obviously I'm not getting it right the first time, you know. So just to get to that stage.
Do you have to keep track?
Yeah, I know when they've regressed a draft. But so I think it's quite important to keep that in mind, that it's just something that I personally find quite difficult to get right. And so almost anyone who's got an opinion, you just sort of seize upon that with great curiosity and enthusiasm to see if, frankly, it's going to make it better.
Tomorrow in the Battle runs Wednesdays through Sundays through September 2nd at Stageworks, Max and Lillian Katzman Theater in Hudson, New York. To learn more, you can go to stageworkshudson.org, stageworkshudson.org, or call the box office at 518-822-9667, 518-822-9667. To see Draft 24? Draft 24, on display now. Kieran, Danielle, and Laura, a great pleasure. Thank you so much for being here, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you so much.
Great
pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.